Psalm 23. We talked, was it Sunday night or Thursday night? We talked about rest for your soul. Was that Sunday night? Sounds like Sunday night. and we talked about rest for your soul last week. And you got a lot of response from that. And I always have too much to teach. I need to be in spots in Africa where you can preach for 3 hours. And so how many think they could last a 3-hour sermon? How many think they'd have issues? How many would, but you're not going to raise your hand and admit it? And I'd be honest with you, I would have a problem with a 3-hour sermon. I would like to learn that much, but I just know my attention span. And as long as there's food, and that'd only be true if there were men. And if they would have had ADD and Ritalin when I was a kid, they would have stuffed me full of Ritalin. I'm totally ADD and ADHD. Unfortunately, they hadn't discovered it yet, and they had this thing called discipline that replaced it, and and it's funny that 95% of all ADD is in one country in the whole world, and somehow the world existed before Ritalin, and I know that a 3-hour sermon, I could work up to it. If I started with an hour sermon, hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. How many have been to a really, really long service like that? All right. Was it a sermon that long? Yes, keep your hand up if the sermon is that long. Wow. Well, I got my license, and we're going to it, but I always have a lot of sermons and a lot of teach on, and I have to, because my mind works in a very, very strong direction. I have a big concept mind, and so I see a big concept, and like this morning, I have a problem. I just don't want to just talk about the fall. But I want to explain why the fall came and kind of the whole concept. And I feel like people learn better when they understand the whole concept instead of one truth. And so I preach in big concepts. So I teach on rest for your soul. And I say, I can't get everything I want to say here. So I have to isolate the sermon to a certain subject, but then I'm going to preach a follow-up sermon on it that is a subject that I couldn't fit in. And it's the leftovers and the chopped up things on the side and just make them into a stew of another sermon. And that's kind of what I do. And that's what this is. It's along the rest for your soul. And we're going to talk about that. And this one's called Rest in Strange Places. Rest in Strange Places. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these precious words. They've comforted many people at funerals and hard times all on every country and continent of the planet. Father, it's wonderful words. I think there's a lot more in there than people see and great truth in here, Father. And we'll start here, Father. And I just pray that your will and your plan and your direction would be done in this message. If there's something you want us to say that we don't have planned to say, just go ahead and take over and say what you want said. We just yield to the Spirit of God and ask for you to speak and bless and empower now with this message and help us to find rest in strange places. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is his shepherd, and because of that, he says several statements and several truths here. He will not want. The word want means be in need. I'm not going to want anything. And so I will have enough. And he has that. I read a book called A Shepherd's View of Psalm 23. And it's written by a man who grew up as a shepherd and became a pastor, but he was a shepherd in East Africa. Man's name is Philip Keller, and he grew up in East Africa, then he went to British Columbia, and he just said, these are what he was saying. Let me explain to you what a shepherd sees, what a sheep sees, and one of the things that he said that was this fascinating, he said, you judge a shepherd by the sheep. He said, I could see sheep and know what a shepherd is like. And he talked about there was neighboring his property, his sheep were very well. He came from a very diligent family of shepherds, and they worked very hard and took care of their shepherds. But he said, right across the fence in East Africa was another shepherd, and those sheep weren't healthy, didn't look good, were injured often, were not taken care of, and he said there was no difference in the property. It was just the fence did not make anything magical. And he says everyone looked down on that man because of what kind of shepherd he was. He wouldn't trim this, and he wouldn't take care of that, and he wouldn't heal this. He wouldn't treat this wound. He didn't do a good job of protecting them, where to his family, the sheep were their lives. And so they would live among the sheep. They would take care of the sheep. They would give, as Jesus said in John 10, their lives for the sheep. And one of the things that I fear sometimes is Christians do not, they have a really good shepherd, but they run away from the shepherd and they do not let the shepherd take care of them. They get insecure and want the world to take care of them and want their job to take care of them and want their selves to take care of them. And sheep aren't, as we talked about, designed to do that. And so they make their shepherd look bad. And one of the scariest, saddest things, one of the hardest things we have in testimonies and witnessing is just the things Christians have happened in their life when they tell people they're a Christian. And it's not because God isn't able, but, you know, God says, I'll supply your needs, but there's requirements, there's lifestyles, there's things you're supposed to do. And many Christians panic, they don't tithe, they run from God, they live in sin, they do a bunch of foolish things, and they don't make their shepherd look good. But those of you who will live your life in a complete trust of God, of your shepherd, and rest in him, let him lead you. Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. He does this. He leads me beside the still waters. When the Lord's your shepherd and you're resting in him and he's guiding your life, people will look at your life and say, your life's good. Not that it won't be without problems, but your life is, somebody's leading your life who's taking care of you. And you might be in the hospital with cancer, but your doctor's going to say, boy, you sure seem peaceful. It seems like you just think you're, this is part of a plan. The Lord is your shepherd. And I think there is a diligent lifestyle that your shepherd pushes you to. And I think a lot of people, they don't get their needs met, not because of a spiritual thing, because they're lazy, things like that. But and they blame it on God. But the Lord is your shepherd. You don't want. Do you believe that the God of the universe is able to take care of you? Now, I don't want to know doctrinally, do you believe that? I know doctrinally you believe God's all-powerful. The problem isn't our doctrine. The problem is our faith. Because our doctrine's fine. God's all-powerful. He can take care of us. God can meet our needs. We trust him. Our faith, and the Bible says, basically, your faith is your substance. And so a lot of people say they have faith. They believe the right thing. But what you believe and what your faith makes you do are two different things. The devil believes that God's all-powerful. He doesn't follow him, access him, isn't led by him and stuff like that. The demons believe and devils believe and tremble. And so the Lord is your shepherd. You're not going to want. You're not going to fall short. I believe that in my experiences, those who really follow God with their life, they're fine. In fact, they're blessed. Those who talk, those who aren't following God, those who are in and out, those who run for the fold, their lives are as chaotic as the rest of this world's. And that's to be expected. But if you'll let God lead your life and quit wanting to plan everything and have it under control and have, you know, I'll trust God as soon as everything's worked out mentality, but Lord's my shepherd, then I think you'll find you will not want. Because God supplies your needs. God takes care of you. And he always does that. And a good shepherd, if the Lord's your shepherd, you're not going to want. He's going to lead you to the green pastures. He's going to take care of you and bless your life and meet your needs. Number two, he makes him rest. Verse two, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He first of all makes him lie down, and he restores his soul. We'll get to that toward the end of the message, but we have a very, God makes his sheep rest. And we talk about the rest for your soul. More than anything, and God says stop, and I think that not as much as some of us were saying, amen. God makes me lie down a lot. That's not what I'm talking about here. Some people lie down way too much and blame it on God. It's called laziness, But I do think that God sometimes he goes and he stops you from running around like a chicken with your head cut off. There's busy and there's panicked. And they're two different things. Godly people are almost always busy, but rarely are they panicked. And sometimes in my life, and I'm busy, but I just have to go, and I go to the mountains for a day. I get refreshed when I'm alone. I get refreshed out in nature. I will just say, you know what, Wednesday, I'm headed to the mountains. And I won't really do anything in particular. I'll just rest. That's what rests me. I know what rests me. And God's people need to be still. I know that he is God, to find times of rest, to sometimes God. Sometimes certain people I've seen before, they don't know how to stop sometimes. They don't know how to quit worrying and quit being in a chaotic life and being led around by life and his business. And by the way, you take hold of life. You don't let life drag you around. You might choose to be busy, but choose to be busy. Don't just be drug around by life and things. But God just says, I'm going to make you rest for a while. And sometimes it's health. I've watched people who I thought, you're in too much. Your heart is racing all the time. And those people sometimes get sick, and they can't go to work, and they can't go anywhere, and they just have to sit still for a while. But God makes us rest. Ezekiel 34:15, he says, I'm going to make my sheep lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He makes us rest sometimes. He makes us just sit still. And sometimes in life, you don't know which way to take, and you're just kind of going through your things and going through your things, and there's no exact direction. And God just says, wait, lie down, rest, just slow down. Number three, takes him to good places. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those are good places for a sheep. They're safe, they're beautiful, they're healthy, and God will lead you to good places in life if you follow him. Now, those places don't always look good at the start. You just have to say where you lead me, and he says, I'm not telling you, do you want to follow me or not? But it's going to be a good place. And he leads us in many times in our life to good places. Number four, we will not fear because the Lord is with us. And this man would not fear because the Lord is with him. David, of course. He says, verse four, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. A couple things about what he says here about where they're going. He says, I'm not going to fear, but it's not because of the place he's at. He says, yes, sometimes he leads me beside the still waters. And the will of God sometimes leads you to very tranquil places. But sometimes the will of God leads you into dangerous, scary places. He says, yes, he leads me beside the still waters, and I lie down in green pastures. And those are the good times of life. But as we learned this morning's message, we're in a fallen world. And it's not always that time. So sometimes he leads you over here, and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not a tourist attraction. The valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. That's one place. He says, I might take you there. And he says, but you know what? I'm not going to fear evil. Then he says another place. He says, you prepare for me a table in the midst of mine enemies. Now think about that. We just read over that real quickly. God says, time to eat. Here's your table. And you look around, and standing around the table or sitting at the table are all the people who want to kill you. God says, go eat. I prepared you that table right there. There's your food. Can I get a spot in the corner somewhere, Lord? That's pretty scary. And then God says, I prepared you a table. I'm feeding you in the midst of my enemies. But he says, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fear. Why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Why is he not afraid? You're with me. God's with you. That's enough. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The the rod and the staff, well, they're for different uses. For the shepherds, they hook them and pull them. It's got a hook on the end. But it's also a weapon for the enemies. And he says, I'm really glad your rod and staff comfort me, and you have these tools. But you know what? It comforts me that you have them because you can take care of my enemies too. And omnipotence and a big God is two-edged. But if you're right with God, it's a wonderful comfort. If you're the enemy of God, it's very scary. I'm glad my God has the power to kill and delay and change and stop and everything else. God can do whatever he wants. He can stop anything. I'm glad he has that. But I'm glad I'm on the right side of it. Because the rod and the staff, the power of God will comfort you if you're following God. I want to tell you this, though. Bible says if you don't do well, fear. Because that rod and that staff can be a weapon that'll kill the wrong people and kill the wrong things. And he says, I'm not worried because I have an omnipotent God who takes care of me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And then verse 5 is the future is going to be bright. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You want a drink and you got some wonderful liquid and you got so much it just is overfilled and just keeps on flowing over the top. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to say the future is bright for those who the Lord is their shepherd. And we see that. But the point I want to make about this is, we just give you just kind of an outline of different situations, is the place of the situation did not determine the rest of the peace, but who was a shepherd. Do you understand that? There's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be besides still waters, and there's table in the presence of enemies. There's going to be lying down in green pastures, and there's going to be the valley of the shadow of death. But in all that, I fear no evil. I'm going to be fine in any case because you're my shepherd and I'm not going to want. And because I trust the Lord, because the Lord is my shepherd. And it's not a matter of that. I can rest. I can eat. I can lie down anywhere. I can rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's not a matter of God's always going to lead me to still waters so I can rest. That's not the whole psalm. That's kind of how people hear it. That's not the whole psalm. Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to be just fine. If you take me to the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to be just fine. If I'm beside still waters, I'm just fine. If I'm eating in the presence of mine enemies, I'm just fine. Because you're with me. I can rest. I can be at peace. I can eat the meal. I can sleep in the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil here. I'm fine. Boy, this is a lot of people have died here. This is a very dangerous valley. The shadow of death is here. And death is all around. And well, my shepherd stopped. All right, I'll lie down here. And this is where I'm going to stay until my shepherd says to get up. Even though it's the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid of any evil here. My shepherd's right there. I hear the wolves. I hear the enemies. I have enemies all around me. Boy, there's bears. I keep seeing shadows moving around. But you know what? I'm going to rest here in the shadow of death. I'm going to rest here because God's with me. I'm resting. I am not going to want. I'm going to be just fine because of the Lord being my shepherd. He would be in dangerous places. And by the way, the man who wrote this, David, his life went through a whole bunch of dangerous places and a whole bunch of very secure places. His whole life was great peace and order and tranquility and great chaos and danger. But the whole time the Lord is his shepherd, so he did not worry because of that. You learn to rest. You learn to rest in strange places. You rest the same anywhere. When I grew up, I slept good. I always slept pretty good. But going to bed, I'm a night owl, so I always had a kind of a hard time going to sleep. And I used to read my Bible at night and memorize a couple of verses at night and always did that. And I'd get to sleep and I'd eventually sleep and get up. And I always had a hard time. Mornings were always hard on me. I could stay up forever, but getting up wasn't so good for me. And I learned that it was a process for me to go to sleep. It took a long time for me to go to sleep. But then I got to Bible college and I got busy to a new level. I've been busy before, but now I was in Bible college as a full-time student. I had a job on the side, and then in the weekend I was busier on the weekend doing ministry work than I was all week long, and my sleep got cut down and cut down and cut down to 5 hours, 4 hours. I lived several years on 3.5 hours sleep as an average. I had a two-week period. Actually, ended up being a little longer than that, but I had a time where I put in a 2 weeks notice at one job. And applied for another job, and they wanted me to start the new job right away, so I had the two jobs and college, and I was in the worst schedule I've ever had in my life. I used to get up Monday morning, I'd go to school, I'd go to college in the morning, I'd go to second shift job, third shift job, go to college in the morning, go to second shift job, go to third shift job. I wouldn't have slept on Monday or Tuesday at all, not a wink. And then I'd go back to school on Wednesday, then I'd go back to second shift job, and then I would sleep on Wednesday night. So I'd go from Monday to Wednesday without sleeping at all. And then Wednesday night I'd go to sleep. Get up Thursday morning. I'd go to school, second shift job, third shift job. School, first shift job, second shift job. And then I would go and I would get a sleep after I got back from work and before I went to the bus route on Saturday. So between Monday morning and Saturday morning, I would sleep only on Wednesday night. I wouldn't get a wink otherwise. I just wouldn't sleep. I slept one day in 5 days. That was my schedule for a little while. And I learned something about sleep. See, sleep used to be a big process. I would get dressed for it. I would maybe drink some milk. I would kind of lie down, get comfy. I would lay in bed. I would put on my monster-proof blanket, all these things that I would do to get ready for bed. And I'd go through this, check into my bed and make sure there's no monsters under there and all this stuff. And I had this big, long process of getting to bed. And so how many have a monster-proof blanket? Anybody? And nobody's going to admit to it. Okay. Travis still does. That's good. And so you go, and it would take me a long time. And I'd lay down and I'd think, and I'd lay there in bed. My mind is so busy. My mind's 1,000 miles per hour. I solve every problem on earth and do 3 million things before I go to bed every night. And nobody ever asks me, and I don't remember it in the morning anyway. But then at college, I got really tired. And I found out that sleep was no longer a process, it was an event. And I found out that I didn't need to be in bed to sleep. I found out I could sleep in class. I could sleep while I drove. I could sleep anywhere, anytime. I started doing this. I would all of a sudden find myself not doing anything for a sec, just a break between classes. Somebody's driving me somewhere, and I'd be like this. I'd be like, I could sleep instantly. I could just fall asleep. And I didn't need any big process. I didn't need to ask anybody. Matter of fact, I didn't ever get permission. I just did it. It was just instant sleep. I learned to sleep and rest in places where I shouldn't have. I learned to sleep and rest when it wasn't comfortable. I learned to sleep in a lot of places. I learned a neat thing. I learned that when I was really, really tired, I was driving at night. And boy, when you're driving at night and you're tired, oh man, it's terrible. And I learned that I could sleep at intersections. And you say, well, how'd you wake up? Oh, trust me, in Chicago, when you're sitting in the intersection, you're not moving, you'll wake up. Because they all honk their horns. And I actually just would just go, I'll be just pulling the intersection, have a sleep. Red light, this is a long light. Honk! All right, off I go, start driving. Where am I? I don't know where I am. And I start driving again. And and I could sleep in the most comfortable. And by the way, I still have that ability. I can sleep in an airport. I can sleep in a car. The only time I ever wrecked in my life was when I shouldn't have slept. I slept in a van driving back at the end of the night. I fell asleep like this and went like this and went to the concrete divider at 65. And that wakes you up too. And so that was the only accident I ever had that was my fault. And I learned I could rest anywhere. What if you're stressed out? Didn't matter. I could sleep when I was stressed out. What if the seat wasn't comfortable? I slept in an airport with plastic seats, and there's something about seats in an airport. They make those things. Torture people make those things. I slept in the airport in a foreign country. When I was in one spot, it was so hot there that everybody slept in hammocks. I never slept in a hammock before. It seems like you tip over. But they said, that's the bed. It's too hot to sleep in a bed here. And Yucatan Peninsula, so I hopped in a hammock, and guess what? I slept just fine. Anybody ever slept in a hammock, like, all night? And so I slept there. I found out that I could rest just about anywhere. I learned, you know what? I'm tired. I can pull to the side of the road. When I drive back from California, I get tired at the same spot when I'm in Santa Clara. I get tired right as I'm coming towards Roseburg. Before I get there, I pull over the side of the road. I crash at a certain rest stop there. I sleep there. But you know, you learn you can sleep just about anywhere if you get tired enough. Now there's certain people who can't. It takes a long time. They need a warm cup of milk. They need a night story, and they need a couple sleeping pills and all those things. But you know, you learn you can just rest anywhere after a while if you're tired enough. And by the way, people say I cannot sleep. Get up early the next morning. Do that 5 days in a row. By the end of the week, you'll sleep. You'll fall asleep. It just works. It works, but much better than those addictive pills you have to take. Okay, if there's medical problems, okay, there's certain medical problems, sleep apnea and other things, but you learn when you get tired, you can just sleep anywhere. We find that God's people here in this psalm can lie down and rest wherever they are in life, wherever life takes them, and we're supposed to lie down and rest. I've slept on a forklift when I worked at night. I've slept on a forklift and not on purpose. I was just tired and stopped my trailer, started looking at the papers, and woke up. I've slept in a jockey horse that I used to have, and it was an uncomfortable vehicle. It was too small. You barely had room for your knees, but you know what? I was tired enough. And I want to say in life, when you get secure enough in Christ and your soul is at peace because he's your shepherd, you can rest in life. I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm just saying, boy, this is crazy. It's okay. I'm at rest. I'm at peace. I can rest anywhere. It's good. Where are we supposed to rest in the Bible? Well, first of all, we see we'd rest in dangerous places. Verse 4 and 5, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You would think you'd never be able to sleep when you'd fall asleep driving. How many ever driven somewhere and didn't remember driving there? Remember do that? So you should think you're on a vehicle moving 60 miles per hour. I can't fall asleep. But you know, you can. And you can fall asleep in a lot of places when you shouldn't. In dangerous places, it says, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's go forward to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. He says, I'm not afraid. Enemies, doesn't matter. War against me, an host, a great army goes against me. I will not fear. My heart shall not fear. I'm at rest. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. In a time of danger and trouble. And now mine head shall be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He says, I'm not going to worry about it because of troubled places, dangerous places we see here. Verse 10, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You know, even if my mom and dad leave me, God will take me up. My shepherd will be there for me. I'm not worried. I'm at rest. Why should I fear? Why should I worry? Let's go to Psalm 91. In dangerous places, you're at rest. You lie down in the valley of the shadow of death. You fear no evil. It's not the place where God takes you. It's the shepherd who's with you. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. You know what? There can be a war going on and arrows flying everywhere. You're not afraid because God can change any arrow. And if he wants to hit you, he can. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Verse 11, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Verse 10, no plague will come to your dwelling. Verse 12, he shall bear you up. His angels will take care of you. And you can be a step on a lion and an adder, a snake, and a young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. He says, you know what? I'm not going to worry and live in fear. And you can worry and live in fear. What about terrorism? What about the world we live in? What about the economy? What about the government? What about the crime? What about this and that? I want to say, we can have a total chaotic world and you can live in a dangerous place. But if your shepherd's there, his rod and staff can take care of you. You don't have to worry about plague, and you don't have to worry about all these things. God can stop the nuclear bomb that the terrorist is going to blow up from getting you. God can make us the criminal who's coming to go and kill you and rob you. His car breaks down before he gets to you. The Lord can take care of you. Rest in troubled times. And by the way, we might be facing some of those in our nation. We might be coming up on some of those. But lie down beside the valley of the shadow of death, and don't fear any evil. In dangerous places, in troubled times, let me take you to Matthew. In troubled times, we see that, we said in dangerous places, your shepherd can take care of you and you can lie down and rest. In troubled times, Matthew 14, in verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side. And he sent the multitude away, and he went to the mountain to pray. So Jesus sent them across. Verse 24, but when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary, and the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them and walked in the sea. When the disciples saw them walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Jesus says, hey, you're in a dangerous spot. It's the middle of a night. You see someone walking on the water. It looks like a spirit, and it's dark, and it's big storms, and you can't get anywhere, and you think you're going to drown. Be of good cheer. Be happy. It's I. Don't be afraid. Wait a minute. Look at verse 22. Why are they in the storm? And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Who sent them into the storm? Jesus. They weren't in the storm because of an act of nature. They were in the storm because they were in the will of God. Sometimes a shepherd leads you into the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes a shepherd prepares a table before you in the midst of his enemies. Jesus sent them into that storm. Jesus put them in that situation. And you will go through scary, hard times in life, and Jesus will have led you into that scary and hard time of life. Worries and fears and what's going to happen, and I don't know where the next step is, and I don't know where the next check's coming from, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God leads you into those times. He puts you in the midst of your enemies. He puts you in your worst fears and says, rest, I'm your shepherd. And Jesus says, be not afraid. He didn't say, I know you're scared. I understand. I empathize with you. I know it's scary. I know it's a big storm. Here's a tranquilizer, and here's some Prozac, and you'll be just fine. He didn't say that. He says, it's me. That's it. That I'm with you is enough. Relax. Lie down and rest in the valley of the shadow of death. Go and sit and eat in the middle of your enemies. The storm, I want to understand this, he didn't come into the boat, the storm stops, and he says, okay, it is I, be not afraid. The storm was still going when he said, be not afraid, be of good cheer. He says this in be not afraid and be of good cheer in verse 27. He says, do that. Peter answered and walked in the water, but Peter saw the winds and wave walking in the water, remember? The storm was still going. Jesus said, be calm and happy while the storm is still going. Because I'm here. He didn't say it because I stopped the storm. He said, because I'm here. He stops the storm a little later. Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, Peter and Jesus, the wind ceased. You understand, in troubled times, you just relax and rest in God. And third thing I want to say, first we said we should be at rest in dangerous places. Number two, we should be at rest in trouble places. He makes us lie down. Number three, we should be at rest in labor. And let me take you to Matthew 11 since we're nearby there. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, but you're yoked up and you're working. We talked about that already. Everybody thinks what they need is a vacation, just time off, just not to go to church, just to go sleep for a long time, just to not do anything for a long time. Jesus says, look, take my yoke upon you. Just carry my burden, and I'll pull yours, and in labor and in life, I want to say this: if you haven't figured it out yet, you've got to learn to rest in your life and be happy and content when you're working, when you're awake, when you're busy, because a lot of your life is going to be like that. Every kid thinks as soon as I get out of school, I'll be able to get on with life and relax. And the person who's out there in the rat race of life is saying, I sure wish I was in 10th grade again. That was easy. That was relaxing. And you know, I'm just telling you, you've got to just learn that life's busy and chaotic and crazy and pressure, and that's just life. So just take a deep breath and say, this world's nuts. I'm going to have a great day today in Christ. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you know what? I know God's with me, and I'm just going to relax in life. You learn to eat at the table. By the way, there's that table, there's your enemies. You're saying, I don't have an appetite. I want to watch everything. No. God said, I provide it for you. Eat. Don't be stressed out. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid to eat. Don't be afraid to enjoy what I've given you in the middle of your worry. Because you know what's going to happen next. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the food I've given you. Enjoy the roof over your head. Just, I know you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Eat. Biggest lesson I ever had in my life, and I've told this story before, biggest lesson I ever had in my life that taught me to rest in life. I was working at the trucking company, and my job was called a jockey, which meant the trailers, I backed up the dock or hooked them together, did different things with semi-trailers. And I would pull them away from the dock. I would do different things like that. Well, there was four parts of the jockey job, and I was the lead jockey. I was the number one jockey on their shift. And to be the leader, I took the hardest job. Hardest job was to put the trailers away, because they would come in, and they put the trailers out there, and you had to go put them in the right spots according to how big they were and what they were. And you had to put them away. And so they would come in waves where they just would come in really fast, and the company really got slammed. The unions went on strike, and all the union trucking companies, so we just got too many trailers to take care of, and that was already the hardest job. And I worked with the three other guys I worked with. I could have taken any of the positions, but I took the hardest one just to be the leader. And these guys, I just at that time had three bums working with me. You ever worked with bums? That's not the right term. That's not a good Christian term. Diligence challenged people. And so I worked them. And so what would happen, their jobs weren't always busy. Sometimes they would have nothing to do because nobody was done at the trailer, no trailers needed pulled out, no sets of trailers needed hooked together. And I would just say, guys, I'm getting backed up here. Because when they'd come in the entrance and then they'd put the trailers down, there's sets of trailers hooked together called pups. You separate them, take them apart, you got to drain the air out of them, you got to pull a cotter pin and get them apart. Well, these truck drivers were in a hurry, and a lot of times they would just come in and just drop the whole set, and they wouldn't separate it, and that took me an extra 5-7 minutes to do it. And if it got backed up and they all came in at once, what would happen is these trailers would go out into the road and start blocking up the road, and everyone is waiting for me to move trailers. And I would say, I got a two-way radio, guys, I need your help over here, I'm backed up, and these guys wouldn't come help. They'd be over there talking or doing whatever, wasn't busy. And I began to run, sprint I literally was sprinting. I'd get up, I'd back up underneath the trailer, sprint back there as fast as I could, drop the air valve, pull the pin, get up there, drag the trailer forward, and then I'd unhook the connector between the two trailers, and I'd go and drag that trailer out, go back and grab that little dolly there and take that where it's supposed to go and grab the second trailer. And I look back and here's more things. And I would run and drive as fast as I could. I'd be flying through this yard, taking these trailers off. I would sometimes drop them before I stopped. I had a little button inside the thing where I could just drop them. I would just come. I'd reach out. There was a hose that hooked on there. You had to turn off the air brakes. I wouldn't even get out to unhook it. I'd flick it, and it'd pop off. Vroom, take off again. Come back, and no matter how hard I worked and running as fast as I couldn't keep up. And have you ever had a bunch of people waiting on you? And you just, I hate inconveniencing people, and I just got stressed out. And every night I would just, as hard as I could work. By the way, next bid came up. Things changed. And I bid for a different job. And so I said, forget this leadership thing. They ain't following. And so I did. And finally, I started having breathing problems. And I had never had a health problem in my life. I've always been so healthy. And I felt like somebody sitting on my chest. I couldn't get a breath in. I started having chest pains. And so I thought, I'm going to die. I was like 27 years old. I thought, I am. And so I finally made an appointment with a cardiologist. And I said, I have chest pains. I have this pain. I have that pain. I have this and that. And then I said, I feel like someone's sitting on my chest all the time. And he says, oh, now that's important. The rest of these, for whatever reason, the rest of these things aren't important. You feel like you can't get a deep breath in. You feel like someone's sitting on your chest. He says, we're going to do a bunch of tests. I had health insurance at the time. I went and got all these tests. I got a stress test, and I went and they put all these things on me and made me walk on a treadmill. I have a treadmill in my house. It's great for hanging clothes. And I went and got an electrocardiogram, and they put all this glowy stuff in me so they could see where my heart was pumping. You've done all this, Dennis? You've probably been to all this stuff, and they look at all these things, and they do these tests on me and tests, and I'm thinking I'm going to die. I finally go into the doctor. He's an East Indian doctor. He has a big file of all the tests they did on me, all these things. It was over weeks, did all these tests on me. He walks in, and he takes my big file, and he just plops it on the table. And he says, your heart, you have no problems with your heart. Do you have a lot of stress at work or something? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I sprint as fast as I can for 8 to 10 hours a night. And I have people all backed up behind me, and it's awful. He says, you're going to die by 40 if you don't change. And he was talking, but God immediately said, this is one of the most important lessons of your life right now. You need to learn to rest under pressure. So God said, you're going to do this. It's going to change your life. You're going to rest under pressure for the rest of your life. Went to work that night, hooked up the first trailer, looked back there, said, this is trouble again. Push off my air brake button, drove around there, dropped the first trailer. God said, don't worry about anything else. Grab your next trailer. Went back there, hooked the next trailer, didn't look anymore what was happening. Grabbed my next trailer, hooked on my little red airline, pushed my air brake thing off, put it in drive, drove off. Stupid driver walks in there, drops his whole set, doesn't hook it. I walk back there, click off the air valve, start draining the air, pull the pin, drag it forward, unhook the dolly, drive that trailer off, go park it. What was happening? I didn't know. I didn't even think about it. I just did my job. Now, I moved fast. I worked hard. I was diligent for the Lord. I was jogging now. I wasn't sprinting. I decided sprinting was unsafe, and they probably wouldn't want me to anyway. So I jogged back there. I would hook up. I put the next trailer away, and God said, put the next trailer away. And I said, but I got 17. He said, no, you put the next trailer away. It's all you can do. So I drive off, hook up the next trailer, put it away. Go put the dolly away, back it up. Hey, guys, I could use some help over here, but I wasn't even caring or watching if they came and helped me. God said, you relax, trust me. Talk to me for a while. You can put these trailers away without thinking. Just keep on doing it. You let me take care of your situation. Don't you worry. But what if I get... God said, don't you worry about it if it gets backed up. You relax. You do your job. I can't tell you how hard that was. I love to worry and see things and what's going to happen. And God said, take the next trailer. Take the next dolly. Put it away. Don't worry about it. Don't get stressed out. And it took so much discipline of me for me to just go grab the next trailer, not look at how backed up it was, not worry about who was waiting for me, but just go do my job and work hard at it, drop the next trailer off, go back, grab the next trailer. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't lazy, but he said, don't worry about it. Don't feel any pressure. You relax, rest in me. Take a deep breath. Don't let your heart's racing. Relax. And I can't tell you what it did for me to discipline myself to rest and relax and say, I can't do anything about that trailer five trailers back. All I can do is put away the next trailer. And I found how biblical that was. God says, don't worry about tomorrow. I got today. Take care of today. Relax. You're in the valley of shadow of death. Eat. I say, he hates me. He hates me. He's got a sword in his hand. He's sharpening his knife. And they hate me. Eat. And relax. And enjoy the meal. All right. Hey, guys. Some pretty good meatloaf here, huh? Pass the ketchup. This is good. Thank you, Lord. This is good food. And you rest. And you enjoy the meal. And you let God take your enemy, take care of your enemies. And you relax. And you don't get into the pressure and the stress and the worry of everything. Why? Because the Lord's your shepherd. But I'm in the valley of the shadow of death with God. You can't outrun the wolf anyway. Relax. Lay down. Eat some of the yummy grass. Go drink out of the still waters. Go over and just lay down and get some sleep tonight. I know it's scary. I know there's wolves out there. I know there's a million things to worry about in life. I know you got 10,000 questions you got about life that aren't answered. What's going to happen if? What's going to happen if? What? Prepare. Be wise. And then enjoy your day with God. And say, God's with me. They can ruin the economy. They can ruin the nation. They can go do this. The world can fall to pot. You know what? I prepared as best I can. But you know what? The Lord's my shepherd. And that's what I have to do. Because when I get stressed, I begin having shallow breathing. And God will say, you're getting a bunch of breath. You're breathing fast. You're under stress. My people are not stressed. Be careful for nothing. Pray about it. Rest. And I always have to physically go, all right, God ordered this. I'll be just fine. And my flesh says, worry. What are you going to do? What's you got to hurt. You got to go. Got to go. And I want to say, I have pressures just like you do. And I could worry just like you can. But you know what? If you'll learn to, the Lord is my shepherd. I might be in the valley of the shadow of death. I might be in some stress right now. But I've learned to rest anywhere. I've learned to rest anywhere. And I don't have to feel the pressure. I've got, the Lord is my shepherd. Learning to rest in strange places because of who's with you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray that today we'd learn to rest in strange places. I prayed rest in you. We get so angry at people because they're affecting our lives, yet you let that person into our life. They can ruin our lives if you don't let them. Lord, we have a financial trouble. We have a health worry. But you're our shepherd. Help us to follow your leading. Help us to rest in strange places. Help us to just sit down and enjoy the meal you prepared for us, though we're in the presence of our enemies. Help us to sit in the valley of the shadow of death and rest that night, because that's where you put us that evening, to rest. Help us to trust you. Help us to take a deep breath. Help us to rest anywhere, Lord. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.